estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 484. I'm Adam and, it would be you. And here's Mary Lang.
I'll bet you were the school twat and never got kissed.
The school what, Mary?
School sweat.
Oh, swat. I missed that. Swat, you mean. Got me.
Okay.
Got me.
I thought swat. It was, I don't even know what that
I've
is.
I've been called worse. Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Who the hell are you?
And Ben Shoveler. Oh, he was there, honestly. He was there.
I am here.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Say fantastic. That'll work.
Oh, it doesn't matter. He can say what he blimmin' likes as long as it's not rude.
Are you talking about me? I was just sorting my my equipment out.
Ben and I have not been together, but just been watching a very good FA Cup game between Manchester United and Liverpool.
It was a very good FA Cup game.
It was getting to the point that I was going to shut up, Kirby. I was going to have another window open on my computer so I could watch extra time, but fortunately it didn't get to that. Right.
I was going to dump you for extra time.
No, you would not. So, right, the end of the world is our topic of...
As we know it.
What?
And I feel fine.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Oh, I see. right, I'm trying to find... The video feed hasn't appeared on the thing, so I'm just refreshing. Because it's the only way I can actually see any of the comments coming through. I can see on my phone that... I think Lillian or somebody said hi. Who is it now? Hello. Oh, got loads of stuff coming through. Lillian says, excuse you indeed, because I had a bit of flatulence. Earthquake says Terry Miles. You ever going to actually start, says Lillian. Everyone's a critic, aren't they? Hello from Lee Anthony Davis. Hello, Lee. And ooh, got my thing's gone funny. And that's about it. We're up to date. Still waiting for the page to load on the pooter. The girls are in the other room. They're going to be watching something, so I hope it doesn't eat up my bandwidth. Oh, here we are.
Probably be dancing on ice.
Oh, yeah. No, I watch that. Sorry, I do. But I only watch it, Ben, because of the possibility of somebody falling over.
Yeah, right.
I find those sure. I don't know why I'm a bit mean, aren't I? I find that quite entertaining. Right then. And also, John Barrowman's on it. Anything with John Barrowman on is worth watching. Right then, so
did you see where he visited Ianto's shrine?
I did see that. Yes,
it was great.
Right, here we go. The episode begins with a little bit of a recap from the previous episode, and then the Doctor sort of posing to Rose about the inside of the TARDIS. He looks like he's changing into the Hulk because he's gone rather green, but then I realised it was the lighting. This green lighting, I think, was only really used for series one. Anyway, so he shows off and says, well, I can take you here in the past. I can take you into the future. Where would you like to go? Blah, blah, blah. Pulls a few handles of bike pumps and rolls some things. And eventually he says,
I
know.
The bike pump is a little much.
Sorry?
I like the bike pump, but he's using it as if it's...
excessive, wasn't it?
Right, can I just say, the bike pump, he is taking everybody, taking them massively into the future, really, for so that I understand a few pumps would be needed. Laurie Nick says, hi all.
Hello, Laurie.
Anyway, so they arrive in what looks like a cinema, because there's a big screen showing the Universal Studios logo, and then you realise it's not actually the Universal Studios logo, it's in fact Earth, but... the sun is about
I see where you went there.
The sun is about to explode, I suppose. It's already sort of swallowed up a few planets, I believe, but they've got some sort of shield to protect it from the sun, and Rose points out that shouldn't the continents have moved? And the Doctor says, no, this is a classic Earth, which I suppose is a bit silly, but it's Doctor Who.
Yeah, it looks very, very much like the inside of the Temple of Peace for the very first time, of using it over and over and over and over.
What do you mean?
The Temple of Peace in Cardiff.
Oh, I see. I've never been there. Well, sorry about that, Kirby. I did actually get onto Russell T. Davis's agent this week. Maybe I should have popped that little... If you dropped me a line before that, I could have said, "And can you pass this on from Kirby for Russell? A form of criticism about where they filmed it. But you're too late now, because they've already said that Russell's too busy to appear on this podcast. Right, then.
What the hell is he doing this so important? Apparently he's can't got spare a Sunday
lots of things in the pipeline, apparently, in regards to producing and writing other TV shows. Anyway, so
bring him back to Doctor Who.
Yeah, well, that's the point. We're going to get him on the show. I was going to say, look, can you just come back and save the program, please?
I was watching the Cut Down Confidential, and Christopher Eccleston was just waxing poetic about how great Russell T. was.
Yeah.
So,
well, he didn't actually think
that. Isn't he one of the ones that he was having, that he quit the show about?
But Eccleston was in
some
another...
reading that I did recently said that his major problem was the shooting schedule, that it was becoming too much. And he was complaining a lot about, you know, how much work and how it's early morning, late at night, it's weekends, and, you know, and it's like it's nonstop. And he didn't like that at all.
Ah,
yes.
OK.
But he did join Doctor Who off the back of appearing in another drama written by Russell T. Davis anyway. So it's
and he specifically asked, can you consider me to be the Doctor?
Something like that. Yeah. Right. So the Doctor is really showing off to Rose about, you know, what's going on in regards to how they're not getting vaporized by this earth exploding. And then some blue chap comes along, looks a little bit like Vision from the Marvel series, just a little bit, but wearing a different hat. He's in charge of proceedings, because this is a big event that they've sold tickets for, this sort of Earth death thingamajig. And then we had to have the comedy, almost like the Star Wars bar thing, where all these different aliens come into this big holding area, including another blue creature.
Yeah, another line I was possibly going to use, and which I think summarizes it well, is when the Doctor says, "When I say the great and the good, I mean the rich."
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so anyway, the dialogue, I mean, you can tell it's Russell T. Davis dialogue, because the dialogue is out of this world, literally. Yeah, so all these, I'm not going to go for it. Sorry?
I like all the little kids that are blue.
Oh, okay. Maybe they're holding their breath. Can we go back to the episode?
Olympus is what we have.
Yeah. And we get this scene here. I have to turn the volume up for.
Master?
Oh, nearly got to play it. Oh, well, that's not bad for you, Kirby. 7 minutes in. Yes?
Didn't you meet Jimmy V, the little person? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's the Moxa Balhoon.
Yes, but he was also in a very quick scene in the film we watched this afternoon, which was a film called Rocket Man, which is a sort of like a musical biopic of Elton John's life.
Elton John?
Elton John, yeah. he plays a little Scottish bloke on the doorstep, which ironically is exactly what he is. He was a little Scottish bloke, and he was on the doorstep.
Why did they get David Tennant to play a little Scottish bloke? I mean, he hasn't done anything for ages.
He did Staged.
I was going to talk about that later.
Anyway.
You've ruined it.
Yeah, that was a scene which all the listeners would have heard. It was the I give you air from my lungs.
That was going to be one of my quotes.
Which somebody must have taken off and then dubbed over the words, or you could do with a tic-tac or something like that. But I don't know. Anyway, then Captain Jack is wheeled into the room. His head's got a bit big at this stage, but Captain Jack has always had a little bit of a big head. Yeah, I thought that was a good one, but never mind.
We all deliberately ignored it.
Yeah, can't seem to find the tumbleweed sound effect. And then, of course, the iconic Cassandra is wheeled in, which obviously allowed for quite a lot of humour in regards to trampoline jokes and stuff like that and faces.
Yeah, I was watching Master. I was watching Master this morning with Fred. And she had not seen this in years. And Cassandra came out, she went, ew!
And then they play, what was it, Tainted Love, isn't it? So that was, I was going to use that as my quote, actually, sometimes
you know
I feel.
What I'm wondering too. Is when I listened, or when I watched it this time, I did not remember that that music was used when I originally watched it, you know, or the other one by Britney Spears. I don't remember either one of them being in this. Mm. So I wonder if when they brought it to, you know, for broadcast in the U.S., if maybe they didn't have the rights to those songs. I don't know.
That's very likely to be the case.
Possible.
Yes. But yeah, so Tainted Love was played, and eventually, after some rather comedy greetings and some handing over of some sort of circular-shaped objects, some little spiders start, well, robot spiders start wandering around the ship. And then Rose meets another blue person who, when we were watching it as a family today, not today, the other day, Isabella pointed out, well, it's a really nice little character, that, and she's killed off so blimmin' quickly. I think we said that in the past when we reviewed this, that the little engineer woman.
Plumber.
Oh, plumber. I'm going to call her
she's
an engineer woman.
Oh, Master, a scene that we just passed, that when Jabe takes the picture of the doctor with her metal mind.
Yes.
This is the first time I noticed that it chirps. It's got bird noises as it's talking back to her, which is perfect.
Yeah.
I had not noticed that before.
Okay, well, sorry about that.
Probably 2 dozen times.
Okay, something else that I came across is that there is a much longer dialogue scene between Cassandra and Rose that they cut down quite a bit, and then the episode was too short, so then they had to write the scene of Rose talking to the plumber. So that's like a totally added-in scene, and it was directed by the director of the next block, which was Iris Lynn. That they had to stick in to, you know, plump the episode up again.
But Iris Lynn directed this one.
He did.
Yeah.
He did? Oh, then I got the wrong director. It was supposed to be directed then by a different director because they put this in so late after it was shot.
Well, Laurie Nick says, thinks about Vision from Marvel, goes on a reverie. I'm very good at pronouncing stuff.
So I hope that Laurie has caught up with WandaVision.
Well, it's only 3 episodes.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not talking about WandaVision.
I actually watched the 3rd episode without being spoiled.
Sorry
about that. Unusual for me.
Well, it came out on Friday, and I watched it on Friday, so that's why I wasn't spoiled.
Yeah, it came out Friday. I watched it on Friday, but I usually watch spoilers first.
Okay, anyway, so Blue Lady gets done in by a lot of spiders. And then Blue Bloke gets done in by some more spiders interfering with systems. Because Sun Shield Descending, or is it Sun Shield Rising or something like that?
I was a bit concerned during the scene when the plumber was in the duct. When they were shining lasers on her, they were going to shine that in her eyes.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody would have said somewhere along the line whether it was a bit of an issue or not, but clearly it wasn't. All right, so then the Doctor and Rose have a conversation, and Rose starts saying, oh, my mum's dead because this is millions of years into the future. So the Doctor uses some jiggery-pokery and a little bit of product placement in regards to a Nokia phone. Sorry, everybody, I got talked over then. But as I've got the master audio feed, the listeners would have heard me.
What did you say?
Yeah. She has a rather pointless conversation with her mum, but they're trying to pad it out a little bit, aren't they, Mary?
Yeah, well, didn't you notice that Jackie is asking to be included in the next little lottery thing that the syndicate that Rose has at her work? I mean, does she not remember that the whole building that Rose just got blown up the week before?
Well, this is a sort of, this is why Mary is a professional podcast co-presenter. She picked up on that. Yeah, I didn't get it. Did you get that, Kirby?
You're asking.
Kirby?
What?
Did you pick up on what Mary just said?
No, I did not pick up on that at all. I'm looking it up right now.
I bet you are. Ben, did you pick up on that one?
Oh, wow. I thought that Rose had entered a new syndicate for the lottery.
Or maybe she's got a new job. This is very confusing, isn't it? Anyway, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. But very well done, Mary.
Oh, I mean, because Rose goes right. I mean, she goes right from running into the TARDIS after the, her place of work has been totally destroyed, to this new place. And here Jackie's saying, oh, when you put the money in the syndicate, put some in for me. It's like,
could
don't
I point
you realize
something
that,
out?
What?
Possibly she's calling her mom before the events of the first episode.
Very good.
Well, we could cover it that way, yes, Kirby, yes. But
there you go.
It just doesn't look right, does it? Anyway, where do we get up to?
At what point in time that phone call was made?
Possibly. Laurie Nick says, somebody spoil Kirby. He loves being spoilt. And Neil James says, hey guys, greetings from Ipswich. Hello, Ipswich.
Isn't right. Ipswich mentioned in this?
What, Ipswich?
Yes. Yes. No, it's next week. No,
spoilers.
Yeah. Rose says, where am I going to go, Ipswich?
Ah.
At 5 minutes.
That was this week when she was stuck in the room with the sun visor descending and it just stopped it descending.
And I believe that next week was partially filmed in Ipswich.
Oh, wow. Good old Ipswich. Right then.
I can find out.
So anyway, the bloke that's cosplaying Vision gets fried by the sun visor coming down. And the doctor flirts with Jabe.
Descending.
Beg your pardon?
Sun visor descending.
Yeah, all right, thank you. So, the doctor flirts with Jabe.
I meant Swansea for next week, sorry.
Rose goes off and mingles, while Jabe and the doctor go into the sort of... It's almost like the parts of a supermarket that you don't get to see, around the back area with all the cladding and stuff like that hanging from the ceiling.
Master?
Oh, God.
Do you want to know what that is?
It wouldn't
that's
be
the back parts of
Millennium
BBC
Stadium.
Wales.
Pardon?
That's the back corridors at BBC Wales before they built the new studio.
Anyway, Patrick White says, I think the phone call was meant to get to Jackie on the day of the explosion. Seem to recall reading that somewhere.
Okay.
There you go. Anyway, so Rose has a conversation with Trampoline Woman. They have a little bit of argument, really, because Rose says because she's actually properly fully human, she is in fact now the last human, and Cassandra is obviously saying she's the last human, etc., etc. The Doctor and Jabe continue to hold hands and flirt underneath the wherever you said, what was it? Oh, the BBC Studios back rooms.
Yeah, BBC Broadcasting House in Cardiff.
Mm. And then, of course, Jabe sort of probes at the Doctor because she recognises...
That's what she said.
That she had a little scanner which pointed out that he was a Time Lord, and she says, I'm so sorry for what happened.
But how did she know?
Yeah. Well, it must have been quite good news at that
the
point.
The Time War.
But this
everyone seems to know about the Time War.
Well, alien species obviously do. Time Lords obviously quite big things.
Is there like a news round for alien
doctor news? Yeah, intergalactic news round, yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, the Time Lords have been wiped out in the Time War along with the Daleks today. Millions of souls were lost, including
allegedly
six
with
planets.
The Daleks. As we will find, that's not actually the case in a minute. Anyway.
Is Rora Koonsberg with the report?
Anyway, Rose gets knocked out cold by one of the Jedi. Oh, no, sorry, the hooded weird people. And the Doctor finds...
The repeating meme.
Yeah, no, they look a bit like Jedi. The Doctor finds one of the spider creatures and knocks it out with his sonic screwdriver.
No.
Yes, he does.
No.
Jabe knocks it out.
But he points his sonic screwdriver at it and then it falls down.
Well, he's just trying to read it, but she knocks it out.
Oh, and then...
She uses one of her lianas.
That scene was so quick I must have blinked. So,
No, that's Mary. Next season.
That's for Mary. Sorry. Pardon?
That's next series.
Do you know, when I kept on seeing Jabe, I mean, her other little tree friends looked a bit boring, but she didn't have looked like a female version of Groot, and bearing in mind this obviously made before Guardians of the Galaxy.
The actress really liked that costume.
Yeah, I'm sure she did.
But it was a bit hot. She's in the Cut Down Confidential. By the way, that's 45 of Toxic.
Yeah.
It was never released on 45. They had to mock that up.
Okay. Oh, well. Never mind. Anyway, so what I was trying to point out was, I wonder if the producers of the Guardians of the Galaxy saw this design for a tree creature and maybe thought that would work partly quite a good base for the Groot character.
Possibly,
or maybe they just read it from the Marvel
comics.
Tree
creature that's a humanoid tree creature. Why not just make a humanoid that looks like a tree?
Yeah. Like I said, then they played Toxic by Britney Spears, and the Doctor realizes that something brown is going down. Rose wakes up in a room where the sun shield is dropping. Look, thankfully for her, a little bit slower than it dropped for the blue chap. And she starts.
She's also
squirting.
Lucky that when the glass starts cracking and the little stabs of light come through, that she happens to be able to dodge them.
Yeah. You're disappointed about that, aren't you, Kirby?
No, there's just an awful lot of luck in this episode.
It does happen. Not to me, but obviously to these people. So the Doctor, luckily for her, turns up and after a long period up and down with the advisors, saves her. And I did love his reaction, which was my quote, obviously, was, it had to be you.
Yeah.
So by this stage, the Doctor's realised that there's a bit of sabotage going on, and it's a bit like the Agatha Christie thing and the end of, what's that brilliant series that I watch everywhere, Death in Paradise, where all the potential villains are rounded up and spoken to by the person who's solving everything, i.e. the Doctor.
And when he first picked up the little spider, Jabe got it for him, he said sabotage right then. So he's known it was sabotage for a while.
Yes. Anyway, so obviously, I think doesn't the Moxa Balhoon get blown to smithereens?
Yes.
And then Cassandra, who obviously eventually is found to be the big villain, transports out there, or teleports out there. There's a manual override, which brilliantly designed spaceship that it is, just happens to be beyond some humongous fans, rather like the Mario sort of platform games. Somebody, the Doctor.
Master?
Yes?
Aren't we all humongous fans? Or just those of us like me who are overweight?
Did you hear that ding? It's a very quiet one, but I felt that it ought to be done, even though it was rather begrudgingly from me. Anyway, so yeah, somebody has to traverse this platform. We did actually see these fans earlier on in the episode when Jabe was apologising to the Doctor for his loss that he caused, but we haven't found that out yet. Yeah, so somebody has to negotiate this, and somebody has to be at the other end, and of course the heat's rising, and the Doctor knows that it rises a certain level that somebody's going to get fried or burned, and obviously it's going to be Jabe. She has to hold the handle down. This was a bit like a film we watched this morning called Passengers, which I absolutely adore. There's a point in which somebody has to hold the handle down while this thing vents, and the same thing happened in Endgame. As a Marvel film where when Thor gets his new hammer axe-y thing, he has to hold down this handle while this sun vents its energy and stuff like that. So Doctor Who got there first. Just saying. Oh,
The Simpsons probably did it first.
Hey. So anyway, to cut a long sequence short, as the sun's sort of exploding and all these windows are cracking, the Doctor dodges these big fans, which are going faster and then slow and then fast. But he uses his Time Lord powers to step through the last one, just as Jabe.
I don't know. I had a moment there when watching him. I'm thinking, what is this, a getting one with the Force?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the one scene about in this story that I really have a lot of trouble with.
He was, it was his Time Lord psychicness. Anyway, so Jabe bursts into flames, and the Doctor saves the day. All the shields come back online just as the Earth burns away. Quite a good effect, actually, of the Earth burning away. And then, of course, it all repairs the appropriate parts of the ship. The Doctor then, after all this has happened, is a bit cross, actually, that that Jabe's got done in. And he sort of reaps a little bit of revenge on... well, on Cassandra, really. Even Rose asks him to take pity, along with Cassandra, on her, because he sort of arranges for her to be transported back onto the platform.
He does transport her back.
That's what I just said. He arranges for her to be trapped. Right, where's... Hang on, find an appropriate sound effect for that one. I'll play it properly. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
No, not yet, anyway. So basically he allows Cassandra to dry out, because one of her catchphrases was moisturise me, and she explodes in a shower of yuckiness.
The thing is that people should have noticed that her brain was underneath her skin.
Should they? Well, it was there. But
yes, it's very obvious.
Yes, it is, yes. Okay.
So she's not dead.
Not yet, no. So, the Doctor takes Rose back to modern day, just to show everything's back to normal, and they decide to go and get some chips. And it's exactly what I'd do if I were allowed to. And then we get a little preview for next week. And
I almost made chips this morning.
Huh?
I almost made chips this morning after watching this again.
Yeah, but I thought chips in America were crisps.
Well, I can use whatever word I want to.
Okay. Right then, so the end...
No, they're fries. French fries.
The end of the world. Right, yeah. So it's again, looking back for the renewal of Doctor Who, now we've just had Rose, now we've had the first, you know, sort of travel off Earth thing. It was a bit mind-blowingly good. I seem to remember while watching it. It's okay now. I mean, it's not the best thing ever, but it's still very, very entertaining. And I think they could have done more with it. And like Mary said, with the padding they put in there, at least the padding in this era of Doctor Who seemed to work quite well, because you're still getting to know the characters, a bit of the background of the characters and stuff like that. But all in all, it's quite a charming story. It's certainly better than some of the stuff we've had recently, to be fair. So, on the whole, I quite liked it. What did you think about it, Mary? Oh, Kirby, sorry.
I was watching this and going, I wish Doctor Who were like this now.
Yes.
basically, my thoughts. I mean, it's a very good episode. Not one of the greatest of that particular series,
nope.
But very good, nice introduction to going into the future. Great introduction to aliens. There was introduction of the face of Bo, obviously. The first mention of Bad Wolf.
Yep.
Mox Valhoun says it's a classic Bad Wolf scenario.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't there mention of the...
scenario.
Yes, wasn't there also mention of the Shadow Plot cremation or something like that? Something that is still in Doctor Who now.
Shadowpock Proclamation had been mentioned in the first episode.
Oh, right, okay.
It's one, I mean, in the past week I've now watched this episode four times, because it is just worth watching.
Yeah.
Unlike current Doctor Who.
Well, like I say, it is better than current Doctor Who. A lot of current Doctor Who. There's a couple of exceptions to that, but we'll talk about them in, probably next year by the time we get to it. But yes, Kirby, sorry, carry on.
Well, I'm pretty much done. I like it, and next week's I like even more.
Yes. What we've got coming up. Neil James says, I like the bit where the Doctor gives out air from his lungs as a greetings gift. Of course, we can't do that these days. Thanks a lot, COVID. Patrick White says, slightly better effect than in the Ark. And then Terry Miles says the Doctor walked through a window in the TV movie so he could walk through the fan at the same way.
Oh, yes. Why did he wait there for so long then?
I don't know.
He could have just got on with it.
Yes.
I've done this before, he could have thought. But that time it was through a glass. This time it's just through a fan. This has got gaps in. Straight through.
Ben, what did you think of it?
Yeah, well, kind of agree with what you've said there. It's looking back at it, it's still a good episode. It's a lot better than what has been on for the last few years. it's got a good story to it, and obviously, as I've said there, it starts the story up kind of for the Bad Wolf thing. And I mean, it's not the best Doctor Who episode of the series, but I was trying to think of a good analogy for this episode, and it was kind of like when you listen to an album that's a really good album. Everyone thinks that some albums have slight tracks that are a little bit duffers. Now, for me, on Oasis, What's the Story, Morning Glory, the track that follows, Don't Look Back in Anger, I can't even remember the name of it because I've listened to it that infrequently over the years, because it's not a bad song by itself. But after Don't Look Back in Anger, which is one of the best songs ever, I can never listen to it because it's just not as good.
Mm.
And it's kind of like, it's not quite that with this to Rose, but because there are worse episodes of Doctor Who to come, certainly after season four. Series four. Jesus, what have I just done?
I would have said something. If you hadn't corrected yourself, I would have said something.
15 years of trying to hammer it into Yanks that they're series, not seasons, and I've just fallen into my own trap.
Yes. No, it's not Yanks who have the problem, it's Australians.
Yes.
Don't you ever go at the Australians, they're my mates. I love it. It's classic, brilliant Doctor Who. It's watchable. I actually watched it yesterday in between some FA Cup matches that were on, and I went to the BBC iPlayer and I went to Doctor Who and I almost watched a Christmas special, but then I thought, no, I'll watch something so I know is good, and so I was all the way back to episode two, series one, just thought I'd better check, and watch that. No, you know, it's great, love it. What's not to love about it apart from the silliness? It's even got Britney Spears in.
Well, that analogy you said about the Oasis thing, a sort of another one you could pick up perhaps is in the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper album, is Within You, Without You, the George Harrison song with all the sitars on it.
For me, it's
a great track, but it just sort of, from the rest of the album, it just sort of think, oh God, I've got to listen to this one before it gets back up into the good stuff again.
I think that's more reserved for something like The Curse of the Black Spot.
Right. Yes, thank you, Ben.
Curse of the Bad Plot.
All right, thank you, Kirby. Right, Robert Vence Jr. says, hello, everybody. This story didn't grab me that much, I think that's what he's to say. Next week is much better. No spoilers. All right then, listeners. Mary, what did you think?
Well, I mean, I have to agree with what has been said before about, you know, we've had such bad Doctor Who recently, for the last, 4 years or so, that, that this would be an improvement over all of that. But still, there's two things that just kind of make me crazy in this.
Uh-oh.
One. And one is, you know, we've already kind of talked about it. It's the utterly impossible and false and hard to believe, hard to swallow thing that the turn-on switch for the shields would be at the end of a long, you know, without any railings, a skinny little, you know, walkway to the other side of three vicious fans that were, you know, would be flowing away.
Mary.
And that you need someone at the other end holding a switch down, that they're going to be sacrificing themselves. The whole thing just came across to me as being
Mary,
just so artificial, Mary, that I had a hard time buying it.
Mary?
Did you see the sign above the handle that had to be held down that said, to be held by wooden people only?
Yeah, that would have topped it off.
And at the other end, it says, this is a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Oh, God's sake.
You know, and then the doctor having his, you know, becoming one with the force moment, you know, only added to that whole sense of, oh, this is ridiculous. The other thing that really bothered me was that there were two scenes that were just so powerful, one following the other. You know, the one where the doctor talks about, you know, the destruction of his planet, which, of course, we've just seen Earth being destroyed. So, yes. You know, so we have a gut reaction to seeing our own Earth destroyed, yes. That we can really relate to him talking about his own planet being destroyed.
Yes,
and that he's the last Time Lord. And it really moved me to hear that speech, followed by Rose coming out of the TARDIS into modern day London or wherever they came out at, and looking around, you could just tell by the expression on her face. It's like these people have no idea what is in their future,
yeah.
You know, that this planet has a sell-by date, you know, and after what I've been through and I'm seeing everybody just, you know, going about their normal business, all of that had a very profound impact on me.
Yeah.
But then all of it got destroyed with, oh, let's go to a chippy and oh, let's do the paper. And all I can think of is, why didn't we end, you know, with that sense of the powerful message rather than pretty much dismissing it all with a, you know, with some throwaway laugh lines. So those two things really kind of spoiled it for me. I did enjoy some of the thoughts about things from the past. I did enjoy the iPod. And I did enjoy, you know, the classical music and all these things. And it makes me wonder, you know, how much do we really know about our ancient ancestors? You know, what assumptions do we have, you know, that are like totally off the mark as much as that was? And to the point of feeling like Doctor Who is really going down the tubes lately, I have a friend who the only episode of Doctor Who she has ever watched, and it turned her off of watching Doctor Who forever, was Blink. She saw Blink, and she was so terrified that she thought, if this is Doctor Who, I don't want to be scared like that all the time. So she's never watched it since then.
Yeah.
But she heard on some TV show, she couldn't remember which one, where the commentator was talking about how the fans of Doctor Who are pretty much falling away because the writing and the directing and all that has just gone, you know, so badly in recent years that that they're expecting it. This commentator was expecting it to not even exist next year or maybe the year after, because that was her first question to me was, well, that's not going to be around anymore, is it? I said, well, why do you think that? So that's what she told me was what she heard.
So, yes, it's still a big money.
Like we all said, you know, but this still stands head and shoulders above what we're seeing recently. So that's what I think.
I think Doctor Who's still a bit a big money earner for the BBC. So at the moment, they probably still keep it, even in a poor state, it still earns. They don't get a lot of money because they're trying to scrap this license fee and various other bits and bobs. So I think they may want to try and keep it hanging on as long as they can. But they could actually do something quite important. Get rid of the production team and bring somebody good in. Yes.
Yeah. Well, excuse me, Adam. That does remind me of another thought that I had. Mm. That when this opened up on the platform where they're all going to walk, and all these people are, all these aliens are being paraded out, the first thought that occurred to me was merchandising.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to have all figures that the BBC can sell. And then when I read the stuff that I was reading, you know, which talks about how this was all made and planned and blah blah blah, it said that the one of the things that the BBC agreed to doing this deal was for if Russell T would come out with more merchandise that they could sell. And I thought, oh yeah, that's exactly what this was about.
Yeah, and that still happens now, not as obviously as big as it was during the first 4 years of its reboot. The amount of merchandise around at the time, and like I say, Who Won was opened as a shop that sold Doctor Who merchandise and did rather well until about 3 or 4 years ago. Yes, .co.uk. But yeah, it is still about, and there's still a demand for Doctor Who merchandise. But yes, it certainly, you know, we were talking about the producers and stuff like that in regards to how rubbish most of the stories are. They're not all bad. There's some really, really good ones in there over the last probably, what's it, 9 years since we've had to say goodbye to David Tennant. But the people who run and produce Big Finish do an amazing job. Why don't they think of maybe using some of the producers from Big Finish and get them involved in the TV show?
Because I'm pretty sure it's worth a punt. Even.
Pardon?
Or some of their writers, even.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Anyway, right, so thank you, Mary. It's now time for feedback. I've just sent over, Mary, something for you to sort of muse over while Kirby goes through his massive amount of massive response, she would say, to his request very, very on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join.
Robert Wentz Jr. Said the first thing was, it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine, R.E.M. then his review of End of the World. The Doctor and Rose go 5 billion years in the future to watch the destruction of Earth by the sun turning into a red giant. On Platform 1, the Doctor and Rose meet all kinds of aliens, including trees, the face of Bo, and Cassandra the Last Human. Why don't we re-say the story? Anyway, the story kind of reminds me of a later story, Voyage of the Damned, and the destruction of the ship in Space for Profit. We find out the Lady Cassandra is behind the destruction of the space station. After the killing and destruction, the Doctor brings Cassandra back after she teleported out. Because of the heat in the station, Cassandra exploded into pieces. She will be back in the face of Bo in New Earth. I like the robotic spiders and Cassandra calling the jukebox an iPod. It would have been funnier if instead of the jukebox they used an 8-track player. Sad about the dying of the tree, among others. Still, the episode was just average to me. Rating 3 out of 5. And then I included a picture of a cutting of Jade's grandfather that I put under a Christmas tree a couple of years ago.
Okay, yes.
That's a little fake thing that was given out at a Doctor Who convention.
Right.
And also, in 2018 in Wholanta, they had one of the masks from the ambassador of the City of State of Blinding Light.
Yeah.
Was on display.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, yep. You don't like me adding those little
things. No, not really, but you're going to do it anyway, so carry on.
Neil James, the end of the world, as we know it. Rose did the incredible job of getting fans old and new on board with this new era of Doctor Who, but this episode had a different task, to keep them watching week after week. Well, it worked for me. The best thing about this story is that we see some aliens, and they're awesome. Really great designs. I adore the scene when all the different species are welcomed into the room, and Rose's reaction is really well done. Of course she's going to freak out. Take note, Tegan! Billy Piper does really well throughout, and her little phone call scene with Jackie is lovely. Top of the world. Eccleston perfectly shows us that his doctor can be vengeful as he lets his anger show after the sad death of Jabe. Some of my other highlights include Jabe and the Doctor's sexy flirting, the exciting threat of the ascending sun filter, the first appearance of the wonderfully designed face of Bo, and some truly beautiful pieces of music. Also, all of the fantastic guest cast with speaking roles are dead by the end. Holy.
Hey, no need for that.
Yes. I've always felt this episode doesn't get enough love. I'm a big fan. 4 stars out of 5.
Marvelous. That's it then, isn't it?
That's it, except for a certain Captain Kirk script.
Okay, we'll do that in a minute. Mary, you have something from Linda and Terry Miles.
Yes, I do. They write, "The End of the World was another great show. I'm not sure about having the pre-credit bit. I prefer the program to start with the titles than the story. I'll clue you in, Miles, is that this is all padding because the episodes are running short. Both the pre-credits and the coming attractions are all padding."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Yasmin Betterman was really good as Jabe.
Yeah.
Her and the Doctor's flirting was an eye-opener for Rose. Zoe Wanamaker was a very good choice as the villain.
Yep.
Rose takes in seeing all the alien people for a while. Then, when the culture shock hits, Billy shows the culture shock well with her acting. Hang on, did he say this is the Bad Wolf scenario just then?
Yes.
That's the first mention of the Bad Wolf arc. The four-legged spiders were a nasty enemy as they got everywhere. How much was Rose's phone bill? The doctor didn't say he would pay for it, did he? The iPod has grown. My iPod is a lot smaller and has no built-in speakers. Are the people across the pond able to hear the two music tracks, Tainted Love and Toxic, or did they do the same as they did with the Beatles song? And
yeah,
that's what I was wondering, because to me, that was new when I heard that, both Tainted Love and Toxic. Mm-hmm. I don't think the American broadcast had those. I don't know what they had. But
so where did you see this one on, Mary, the episode we were doing this week? Where did you watch it?
On the iPlayer.
Yeah, so you heard the tunes this time.
So I did hear Toxic and Tainted Love, yeah. But I'm saying back when I first watched it, I don't remember that being the music. And even when I watched it on Netflix, I don't remember it being the music. So I'm wondering if the Americans heard something different.
Yeah, I don't know.
To me, it was a shock when I heard this time. It's like, whoa, I don't remember hearing these.
Maybe the licenses have changed since, obviously, when it first went out in America, perhaps they weren't allowed to play them, and now perhaps they are.
You know, it's on HBO Max now, and those are the two pieces of music that are on HBO Max.
Well, but like what Adam said, that there may be rights... things that have worked out in the meantime.
And unfortunately, I don't have my first download way back when of this, so I don't know.
That would be interesting to find out. And I don't have anything to recover from, since I can't access it on Netflix anymore.
and I can't I don't see anything in either the Wikipedia article or the TARDIS.fandom article about any other music.
Yeah, and even the thing that I read, which is pretty exhaustive, he doesn't mention either, that the Americans could or could not hear that music. Anyway, I don't know. Anybody who does know, put a little thing in the 20 megabytes and let us know. Okay.
Yes.
Why didn't Rose lay down under the sill of the window? It was a good foot high. The sunlight would not have fried her like it did the steward. Who on Earth or any other planet puts a computer reset button at the end of a walkway that looks like it came straight out of It's a Knockout? Glad to see that Captain Jack survived. Settle down, Kirby. Some say it's him, some say it's not.
Well, I believe it is.
I don't think it is.
Neither do I.
Here's something to remember. Cassandra dies, but in 10 episodes' time, I think she dies again. All in all, fantastic episode. Stay safe, everyone. Linda and Terry Miles.
Yeah, thank you, Linda and Terry Miles. Right, what we've got here? We've got some audio, and it's this.
Well, good evening, 20 megabytes. It's Andy Dunn here. It's 10 to 6 on Sunday. I'm just running a bath, again, I suppose I ought to, really. End of the World, Doctor Who. I think this is a really, really good episode. I've watched it in two bits over the last couple of days. Thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, it really... It's one I think you can see John Pertwee doing it. It's a really quite a tight and quite a dark one. I mean, it starts off with a bit of levity with...
That's what she
said. Doctor saying to Rose, where do you want to go? Your future, something like that, and end up taking her to this. And then it does get rather dark as Rose's face, the end of her planet. I mean, we all know mortality comes along. There's a finite time, there's a time to die, a time for all seasons. But it's when you actually becomes reality, that's somehow different. There's some interesting characters in there. There's the meme, which is, we'll find out what those are all about. We have the trees, and why not? Intelligent plants. In some respects, I think there's a... You do wonder if this is the most intelligent life on this earth, but other things. We have the last human being who... Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre, I still haven't worked out what it was meant to be, but yeah. And the fact she ended up being the villain, of course, was really, really mixed up and made it more interesting. Then, of course, you have the face of Bo, and the face of Bo, is that really Dr. Jack? Not Dr. Jack, Dr. Jack! That'd be an interrogation on Dr. Jack, Captain Jack, as some people said. But it starts to throw up a character that does pop up every now and then and actually does have a lot of impact on the Doctor. But I think the most interesting character is the Doctor himself, when Rose challenges, who are you? And I think this is good, because it's a good jumping in point for new viewers who don't know Classic Who. It's reinventing, but it's not reinventing, because it's a Doctor as the Doctor. I mean, the first thing to do, we get the Time War, Doctor Who with, and he doesn't say. But when he says, he's been through a hell of a lot, he's the last of the Time Lords. I think it really does open up the Doctor to who is this person, who are they? And it is reinventing and not reinventing at the same time. I think this is really, really well done. And then with the tree, when she's saying, I know who you are, and it's only at the end she says, Time Lord. Does she know who he is?
Yeah.
And you see the Doctor crying.
Yes.
But I really think this really is very tightly scripted, very tightly played. I think it's a shame that Eccleston didn't stay, because I think here, I think this is probably one of his best performances, where you start to see, who is the Doctor? Who is this person? Who is this Time Lord? What are they doing? Yeah, I think this really is. I think it's one of the best ones Eccleston ever did. We'll never know now, will we? So there you go. And be seeing you.
Thank you, Andy. That was Andy Nunney, everybody.
Yay, thank you, Andy.
All right, what's coming through on the feed? We have Robert Vench Jr. says, would have liked better music than Toxic or Tainted Love. And it says, copyrights may have been given when re-airings happens. And then, excuse me, copyright may not have been given during re-airing. So there you go. Some more. Yes.
Neil James put a link on the Facebook group, which you can join.
Yeah.
He says, nice little interview with Zoe Wanamaker about her role as Cassandra, the Last Human.
Oh, yes.
And it's from Big Finish.
Oh.
That's weird.
Toby Haydock.
Well, patron of the show, Toby Haydock.
Yes.
Okay. We also have this. Oh, no, we don't, because Kurt is still talking.
One of our people who did not join us this week, she might join us a little bit later, mispronounced Toby Haydock's last name in a conversation with me the other day. Tisk tisk.
Hadoki.
Yeah, not quite Hadoki, but not Haydock.
Haddock.
Something like that. Mm. If she comes on, I can chide her.
It's not the same person that can't pronounce Omega's name properly, is it?
No.
No? Okay, right then. Okay, we got this.
Hello, Tweeting McMap Podcast, this is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
The End of the World by Russell T. Davies. Can you smell chips?
Yes.
The Doctor mentions that humans are scared of eggs and beef, a reference to a contamination health scare at the time.
Ah.
The iPod plays first, Tainted Love, the first line of which is, sometimes I feel I've got to run away.
Ah.
A sentiment echoing the many times the Doctor has said, run.
Yes.
Later it plays Toxic, a song about falling for a dangerous man.
Interesting.
Yeah. At the start, when discussing a destination, the Doctor seems creepily keen on impressing his new companion.
Yes.
It is because he has just been through a war. But still seems creepy.
Yeah.
Jabe of the Forest of Cheam assumes the Doctor and Rose are in a romantic relationship. She will not be the last in the revived Doctor Who.
Right.
The National Trust is a British organisation that looks after historic buildings. Here, they have upgraded to the entire planet. Recurring characters, the Face of Beau and Cassandra, the Last Human, are introduced. Cassandra is left for dead, but note that her brain is in a jar at the bottom of her apparatus.
As Kirby pointed
out. She would need a new body, which is ironic, given how she prides herself on remaining pure.
Yeah?
Zoannan, what was the Southampton score?
Yesterday in the FA Cup, Southampton beat Arsenal 1-0.
Hooray!
Bye for now.
Yeah, thank you for that, Ian. Especially the football reference.
There's also feedback from Robert.
Robert, yeah. Thank you for that, Mary.
And there's feedback from Alan T. Butcher,
which
you're
going to do,
to
yes. So Mary's now going to do the Robert Haynes feedback, aren't you, Mary?
Yes, I will.
Thank you. Very kind of you.
Robert says, here's my feedback. I'm quite enjoying going back to the start of New Who. These are quite breezy episodes to get through, though it is back with some of the stuff that annoys me about RTD. That kind of negativity he has, really manifesting itself with the last two Torchwood series and their depressing nature. Here we have the destruction of Earth, consumed by the sun. I don't care if it's billions of years in the future, and I don't care that there's a new Earth to come. I get the feeling that it was just a showcase for the CGI. The trouble is that a lot of that CGI looks dated now. If only they'd gone HD from the start.
Yes.
I also think it's there just to show what they could do then with lots of aliens. Merchandise! Cassandra's realization was a bit gruesome, especially when she, in quotes, died. Plus, for a family drama, some of the lines were a bit below the belt, especially Cassandra talking about how quick her fifth husband was. And doesn't Rose's phone just look like an ant now?
Yes.
We're slowly drip-fed more info on what's happened to Gallifrey, and Rose impulsively taking off with the doctor last week is given a payoff this week when she suddenly realizes she doesn't really know anything about who she's taken off with. It's funny when the doctor was taking Rose to various time periods. I really did feel like they could have stepped outside the TARDIS and they would be in a different time zone each time. Okay, so now we know the TARDIS can go forward in time. Well, forward in this case. Next week, they'll go back in time. They're really doing a good job in introducing newcomers to the show here. Looking forward to next week's episode. Isn't that the episode that Eve Miles did before she was cast in Torchwood?
Why, yes, it is.
Affirmative, Asta.
Yes.
No, it's saying affirmative.
Oh, okay.
It was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kirby. You know, so when you're talking about the, you were saying about the merchandise and all these new aliens. I think it not just a merchandise thing. It was the fact that Doctor Who's back with, and well known in the classic era for having really crap looking aliens. And I think it was just a showcase to show what the special effects people could do with the CGI. Which I don't think it's that bad, to be fair. And the prosthetic aliens they created. Kirby, you have something from Alan T. Butcher to dictate.
Yes, I believe I do. Oh, well, it's not the end of the world. Or, oh, yes, it is.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, well, let's better not keep that going for a few hours, should we?
Kirby.
Dear 20 megabytes.
Kirby, the floor is yours.
Come on, Kirby.
I don't dare. Hey,
tell
me what
a parable, mate. Just go for it.
Go for it.
Oh, for God's sake.
Seriously, whenever you want to start, we're all waiting. It must be the time delay on this call that we do, but when you're ready.
It's really funny because Kirby's waited for a long, long time to get the opportunity to read Alan's feedback. And the moment
really
occurs.
I'm enjoying this part of the show when Ben does this.
The end of the world.
Sorry, carry on.
Is, of course.
Carry on, Kirby.
A closely studied, yay, musing upon the nature of loss set against experience and memory. There is, of course, some attention paid to the shield of wealth against the damage of a bad experience for those who can afford to look but not be significantly affected. Through Rose, we see the realization that by coming to where she has all she has known and cared about has gone. The doctor does show her that she can still connect with that which is lost, albeit in a limited fashion, through her modified phone. We are then given our first window on the loss of the doctor's experience since last we saw him, which we understand is of a more profoundly permanent nature. The final antidote for the lament to our Earth's destruction in this story is, of course, played out with a certitude that our remembrance of that which is lost is its guaranteed endurance, and in Doctor Who, with its access to time travel, this can be manifested in the reality of a bag of chips consumed after that destruction of Earth, but before it is destroyed. Hang on, I gotta scroll. It should be noted that some may suggest that Cassandra is not a credible scientific possibility as a life form, let alone that she should be a form of human, but in fact they should remember that Doctor Who is a fantasy sci-fi TV show, and this is not the first time such suspension of disbelief has been asked of them. We also learned that the steward has spent some time on Earth in the 21st century, memorably calling himself Rump, back when he was more hairy and less blue and played some role I can barely remember involved in the events that led to Clara's death, well, sort of death, you know what I mean, that raven thing, what?
Clara's sort of death with the raven.
He was in that one? Okay, I'd have to go back.
Oh, come on, Kirby.
All in all, The End of the World is a great way to introduce the ambition and scope of the alien universe of Doctor Who that is being revived after a long gap. The story is limited, as we are, in many ways, still in pilot mode, establishing the well-judged meta-narrative which will maintain the depth and mystery of the show and the epitome of...
Come on, Kirby.
Someone say that.
That. What are you talking about?
Eponymous. Character for 8 solid years.
Wait, spill it out again.
Epiphanous.
Epiphanous?
Eponymous.
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 Thank you.
Well done, Mary.
Maybe she should read these.
Too late.
Character for 8 solid years and provide the grist for the mill all the way up to a supremely successful 50th anniversary. The narrative is quite confronting for Rose as she sees the full implications of the travel which she has embarked upon, both in terms of culture shock and risk. The Doctor's character is also brought into contrast by this, as we have to contemplate that he either didn't understand how disconcerting this would be for Rose, or perhaps he was purposefully testing whether she could take it on board. Perhaps most telling on the way the show has developed since 1966.
carry on.
Perhaps most telling on the way this show has developed since 1963 is that on this reintroduction, which has taken key lessons from the way the show began, a striking contrast is that the first travel in the TARDIS here leads to the far future, whereas in the original story it leads to the distant past. This story is perhaps one episode too short, as it would much benefit in terms of introducing the show by being coupled with the previous episode.
Uh-huh.
Next up, Doctor Who and the Gas Problem. No, not Slitheen. Not yet. Or who the dickens are you? Those are my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Thank you.
Well done, Kirby.
Thank you. Eponymous means that something is named after a person. You know, and you're the person that it's named after.
Oh, I know what it means.
Oh, okay.
I haven't had to read it aloud before.
That same problem. I read a lot of words, but nobody wants me in that kind of a conversation, so I have no idea how to pronounce some of them.
Exactly.
Anyway, Tim Drury's watching. And he says on the live feed, a bit busy watching the snooker last week. Sorry I didn't join you. The End of the World felt like proper Doctor Who back in 2005 with the warm-up act of Rose. So there you go. I think that's it for feedback. I don't think I've missed anything, have I? Feels like there should be more. Nope, that's it. So that means we can now move on to Doctor Who news, of which there isn't much. But what there is a trailer for which I'm now going to play.
Meet Melanie Bush, business leader, philanthropist, galactic Screamer. Entrepreneur. What began as a humble carrot juice business is now a technology, health and lifestyle empire stretching right across the galaxy.
And that's all I'm going to play because it's 8 minutes long. But that's, yes, it's basically, it says a business proposal for Mel, the collection season 24 announcement trailer. So it's all on Blu-ray. The season in which we have the Seventh Doctor and Mel. And then at the end, friend of the show, Sophie Aldred. So, yeah. Yes.
I said, yay!
I think Kirsty would be particularly interested with this Blu-ray set, but she isn't here to to amuse us by her interest. Anyway, TARDIS magazine, volume 17, issue 2, is coming out, or is out. And it says, all sales would benefit Mind, the mental health charity. If you go to DoctorWhoNews.net, there's a link which would enable you to gain access to this particular feature. Now, the thing isn't on here, but I saw, and it may well have been one of these fake fan-made things, but I'm pretty sure I saw a thing that said Doctor Who returns in October 2021. It probably is fake, but doesn't anybody know that, whether that has actually been put out there or not?
I haven't heard anything.
I have heard anything. That's why I just said it. But yes.
You silly boy.
So yeah, I don't know. That's probably fan made, but it was quite a lot of interesting things within the little thing they put together. Trouble is, it's things that we've already seen. But the picture of Jodie, she looked different. She looked different in it, but I don't. If they're going to get rid of her, I don't think she'll be going at the end of this. If they do bring it back in October, this particular mini series, as of what it actually is, I think they'll wait to Christmas, New Year, for any regeneration, just to keep the interest going. But again, the BBC hasn't officially announced yet that she's leaving. So, and usually they would have done by now, but I suppose they might. Be thinking of doing things slightly different, I don't know. And also, we're getting very, very close to the 60th anniversary. And if I were her, I'd like to be playing the Doctor on the anniversary, but I'm not her. And maybe that would be a thing they also might want to bring in, a renewal on the 60th anniversary. But anyway, yes, so that's it really for Doctor Who News.
One thing that I read is that the news that Christopher Eccleston was leaving the series then what came out just before this second episode was shown. And so they feel like that spoiled a lot of things, you know, because everybody was too buzzing about who's going to follow him.
Alan T. Butcher says, October 2021, definitely fake. There you go. So obviously it's come through weird American media sources.
I've been Googling here about Tainted Love and being in the U.S. version. I cannot find anything that says it wasn't in it when it was first broadcast here. Not at all.
I do apologize about that, Kirby, but I don't work for the BBC, so sorry.
Right. Maybe it was. I don't know.
Nor do I. Let's move on. Whowon.co.uk.
Is it whowon.co.uk?
Yes. Who are they then? Are they some sort of sponsor or something?
Yes.
Oh.
They are. They.
Andy, well, why don't you tell us what they have in stock this week?
I can't tell you what they've got in stock, but what they sell, I can tell. Certainly. Pre-order is usually quite an interesting thing, and like Colony of Fear, a big Finnish production featuring Colin Baker, friend of the show, and dare I say, friend. In a Big Finish, and that's a Big Finish production, sorry. Grey Man of the Mountain, which is seventh Doctor story and friend of the show, featuring friends of the show, Sylvester McCoy and, oh, that looks like Sophie Aldred, but actually it's such a small picture. Oh, it is. It is Sophie Aldred, yes. Another Big Finish production, Masterful, which looks really cool. Have you had that one yet, Mary?
I haven't. I haven't listened to it yet, no.
Okay. What format do you have it in?
MP3.
MP3, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. What were we expecting? Four-disc vinyl?
No, it's but who won selling the CD version?
I don't send for the vinyl ones because I don't have a record player.
Oh, no. I do. You can send them to me.
They offer the MP3 downloads, you know, much, much cheaper than...
Yeah, this CD that Who Won are selling is £25. But it's sometimes nice to have a hard copy
of something. Incredibly reasonable, I'd say.
Yes. Plight of the Pimpernel, another sixth Doctor story featuring Nicola Bryant, who we still have a page on Facebook called Nicholas Norks. Can't remember who invented that particular feature.
You know what? I've been in there recently. Not that
I bet you have.
And I've kind of like changed it a little bit because of obviously all the PC bobbins that goes on. And
I don't think you have.
Offended by it, so I've changed it from what it was to just a general appreciation of the wonderful person that is Nicola Brown. Add a nook. No.
Revolution of the Daleks, which is is that a book? Oh, it's a DVD. Just a DVD of that's an old quaint way of releasing video, isn't it? A DVD. Chris Chibnall's special that came out on New Year. And Reese and the Anto's Excellent Barbecue, which is a CD written by Tim Foley. A Torchwood production. And it was weird having these things with the Anto in, because when he got killed off such a long time ago, it just seems a bit weird sometimes that they bring him back. Robots 3. What is that? That's another Big Finish production featuring... I don't know who it features. Oh, it's the robots from Robots of Death. And some of the other actors
They've got a whole series of those going now.
Cool.
I think that's the third one in the series. I think it's called Robots 3.
I know that a patron of the show, Toby Haydoke, was in the sequel, wasn't he? The sequels to The Robots of Death that was released by Big Finish, which we reviewed a while back.
I was still commuting back and forth to Tennessee back when we did that one.
Yes. So that's all the stuff that's not released yet. It's coming soon. The page won't refresh to actually give us the latest products. It's a bit of a pain in the... Ah, that's this. Latest products is blank, but if you go to one.go.uk, you'll be able to see all their Doctor Who memorabilia and products. I think it's the only website I know of that sells specifically and only Doctor Who Target books and Big Finish hard copies of things. So worth going to. Lavazzi got .co.uk, Kirby.
Yes.
It's really cold here in Great Britain at the moment, so I recommend you do, as a Doctor Who fan, is go to lavazzi.co.uk and purchase yourself a Fourth Doctor scarf. Not only is it really good, it's so long you can wrap it around your neck and keep warm, you rack it around your face a couple of times as a face covering, and around your head as well to keep your head warm. It's a brilliant idea for a garment. But they also sell lots of other Doctor Who merchandise. What?
I'm looking over at the display on my ALEXA. I've got a tablet, but it's 58 degrees here, so it's not cold.
Yeah, but it doesn't count. This is a British podcast. It's the temperature in this country that actually counts.
I have a Lavarzi scarf.
I mean, we could say... Sorry, Ben.
I was going to say that the Americans, there's snow on the ground. That means... We've stopped. We can't do anything in the snow. Us Brits are used to, when it comes to snow, the only thing we can go and do is play in it. Work for the next month has been cancelled just because there might be a snowflake. Well, there are loads of snowflakes about, but there might be a few snowflakes on cars. Why are snowflakes on cars? This conversation is getting confusing. I should bow out.
Well, it's pretty cold here. I wouldn't mind a nice scarf. It's 28 degrees and there's snow on the ground.
Yeah, we just got rain and slush. It's quite warm outside here on the island. The mainland is a completely different kettle of fish and country. There's always had different weather on the mainland they have here.
Blooming freezing here tonight.
It is pretty cold.
Like -3.
Yeah, I don't know what it is outside. I think it was -4 when I last checked. But
it's -5 here then.
Thermometers in the other room. Alan C. Butcher says Masterful is great fun. Then he says Tom Baker's 10A is just out. First story is a sequel to The Sunmakers. And then that's Big Finish, of course. I was going to say something. Yeah, I was talking about Lavazzi, wasn't I? Yes, their blog, which also encourages people to send in fan fiction. And so it's a really, really good website. And the last thing I'm going to talk about in regards to sponsors is iwheroes.co.uk. And like I keep saying, join their Facebook page where Rob quite regularly opens up their delivery boxes, and it's quite exciting to see what actually, because they don't know what's turning up. It's Funko just send them stuff and then it pops up on their website. They've got some quite cool new pops out. We've got the Batman DC holiday Scrooge thing, which is a bit late, obviously, because it's no longer Christmas, but it does look quite cool.
Hey, Adam, it will be again next December,
yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah, you put it by for someone for Christmas for next year. And the Rudolph Flash figure looks really cool as well. All available
online.
I need
to find one of those, whatever they're called, things you were just talking about.
What, the Rudolph Flash?
No, the...
Scrooge Batman.
What's the toy collection called?
Funko Pop.
Yes, one of them. Yes. I've got to find one of something from My Hero Academia.
Oh, well, I'm sure you can certainly look at islewhiteheroes.co.uk.
No, I'm asking you to ask them if they've got it.
I can't ask them at the moment.
And then, if they have, if you could pay for it and send it me, that would be beautiful. Thanks very much, mate. You know,
go to Heroes Vinyl, Pop Vinyl Collectors on Facebook and join their group. And they're always updating on their latest news and everything. It's very interactive, and you can actually ask. He opens the boxes up, and you actually ask them to put stuff by. Obviously, they mail stuff out, but it's only to the UK at the moment until Rob advises me otherwise. So I've just had notifications coming through. Nothing of interest.
Master?
Yes?
Early this morning, I posted a video from Nabil.
Yes.
Of Syl getting the COVID-19 vaccination.
Yeah, I saw that. It was very funny. But it doesn't work very well on an audio presentation. But if you join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, you'll be able to see all these exciting things that Kirby posts. Yeah, so, Ben, how's it been for you this week?
Well, it depends what you mean by it, sir. It's been cold and a little bit warm, then a little bit painty.
That sounds like a song. A little bit of money. No, it's a different one.
Well, I woke up this morning, dun-dun-dun-dun, it snowed outside, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Couldn't go in the car, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. So I watched cricket. I'll tell you what I did this week.
Yes.
I was, I think you've already touched on it. It's probably been watched by everyone. I'm very late to this. I'm very late.
What, WandaVision?
Right. No, I don't care about that. I haven't got Disney Plus.
Oh.
But it was the David Tennant and Michael Sheen program.
Staged?
What?
Staged. Yeah. Which series have you watched? One or two?
I watched both. Well, considering all the episodes are 15 minutes long,
yes.
I watched them in about two sittings.
Yes.
So I thought it was fantastically funny.
It is.
And the other thing I watched last night, and it's on Netflix, was, what's his name? Greg.
Well, the tall Welsh bloke.
Taskmaster.
Greg.
Greg. Hold on a minute.
Greg Davis. Not, is he the one
Greg
that was
Davis.
In?
Greg Davis.
Yeah.
Stand-up comedian as well.
Yeah.
If you go on Netflix and type in Greg Davis, there's a stand-up comedy routine he did in 2018, I think. It's called You Magnificent Beast or something like that. And it's the funniest thing I've watched.
Oh, I might have.
I think it's an 18, so don't watch with your children or any animals that are offended by the words.
All right, thank you, yes.
In the room.
I'm pretty sure that on one of the, it's either Netflix or Prime, has also got that bloke that Mary said is really hot, that's the new companion, what's his name, the Liverpool bloke, Scouse comedian.
John Bishop.
Yeah, John Bishop.
I'll tell you what else we watched.
What?
We watched a series on Netflix about the royal family. Cause
what,
watched
The Crown?
The Royals, and then we're watching something else on the royal family.
What, Crown?
No, it's called The Royal Family. No, it's called The House of Windsor, actually. And then we watched a programme last night on the conspiracy theories about Princess Diana.
Oh,
and
no.
And I cried a lot.
What, for laughter or... I love Princess Diana. I met her. She was beautiful.
I can't watch a funeral without crying. It's so sad. The whole thing.
Oh, yeah, it is. The whole funeral. Actually, no, their wedding is on... the British Britbox. They can actually hold the Charles and Diana wedding. It's amazing watching it when you consider what came about afterwards, you know. But
anyway, she was murdered.
a theory, of course.
No, not a theory.
Oh, stop it, Ben.
Fact.
Yeah, she was beautiful. She was genuinely beautiful. If you look at her close up, her skin was like porcelain. It was an absolutely gorgeous woman. Yes, I still have that tender memory of her little gloved hand grasping mine for a split second. How do you do? How do you do? Why didn't I say something better than how do you do to the Princess of Wales?
Oh, you said to her.
Oh, jeez, yes, mate. I didn't expect...
And because she'd just split up with Prince Charles at the time, she was up for a bit. No.
Yeah, oh, it was a treasured memory.
When I lived there.
Kirsty's watching, actually, and I've just tried to dial her. She could actually let me know, couldn't she? I'm just dialing Kirsty at the moment. She probably doesn't realise I'm dialing her. Because it's nice to get a bit of Kirsty's input into the thing. Where is she? Kirsty. I'm dialing you on Skype, Kirsty. It says she's watching. Anyway, so yeah, sorry. You, what else have we watched this week? Obviously, WandaVision. You can't talk about because you haven't seen it.
No.
Very good. We're thoroughly enjoying that. It's nice because we can watch it at dinner time, watch it as a family. Because normally Isabella goes off and watches stuff before everybody else gets to see it. So whenever we decide to watch a film, she's virtually watched every single film that's available on streaming services. So we were thinking of renting Wonder Woman 1984, but Deb keeps saying, well, I'm not paying £15 to rent it when I might want to buy it in about a year's time for the same price.
Get HBO then, Max.
What about HBO Max?
It's on HBO Max, at least here.
No, it won't be here, though.
Okay, I just said to Kirsty, join us.
Well, she would know that, because I've just said to her, she's watching...
She said, how long you got?
I beg your pardon? Didn't realise my flies were undone.
It's pretty
very personal question. Well, we've got as long as it is required. I would be quite interested to hear Kirsty's input in regards to the last two short stories that she hasn't had any... she did send some feedback in for the last one. So it'd be nice to have some, you know, actual comments about...
I just... told her I beg your pardon after the how long you got, and then can you join us now? And she has not read those yet.
Read what?
The messages that I just sent her that I just told you about.
She's watching, Kirsty.
Red 5 standing by.
I'll try and ring her again. Shall I do it? I'll sing the lift music while we do that.
Okay.
Yes?
I said okay.
Yes.
I don't think anyone else was okay with it.
No. Anyway, right, so what else have we been watching? This morning, because I've had the day off work, it's been fantastic. Able to watch one of my favourite films, Passengers, which is that's a delightful movie and features somebody, this is a topical thing, somebody posted on one of the other Doctor Who groups an appalling notion that Michael Sheen should be the next Doctor. And I thought, well, a fantastic idea. I love Michael Sheen. And they said, oh, we don't want him. No, 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 we don't want him. And I thought, what the blimey hell's the matter with Michael Sheen? He's almost like a British legend. So I did protest. I don't normally get involved in these.
Probably too expensive.
Probably is. He probably won't be. But if the opportunity came for him to be the Doctor, I'd be well up for that. But there you go.
Oh, I thought of someone else who would make a brilliant Doctor. I think I saw it on Facebook.
Ben
God,
Shoveler?
What's his name?
Ben?
No. It's the... Actually, Nick Frost. That one. He'd be a pretty good Doctor, I reckon. Although, they may have to go back to the old-style TARDIS doors on the inside. Sorry, that was a fat joke, and I'm in no position to make. Do you know, I've only eaten soup for 2 weeks now.
Why is that?
Because I'm fatter than you.
That's a bit harsh.
It's true. I was.
How do you know I'm fat? It's only my head that's on view at the moment.
Because there are things called photographs. So.
Yes, that's them. Just bad angle. They're just shot at the bad angle, Ben. You look at some
my
of my TikToks.
Work.
Kirsty has read the message, but. She hasn't responded.
Yes. Hey. Yes. I'll dial her again. She's probably just trying to connect to the internet thingy. Right, here we go. I've just dialed her again. You never know, she might turn up. Anyway. Trying to think what else we've been watching. Trouble is, you know, when you're at home a lot because of the lockdown, you tend to sort of watch every single tiny thing you're slightly interested in, and then you've got nothing else to watch. So I've gone through all the crime stuff I like watching. There's a new thing on Prime. It's a Star Trek series, an animated one. I quite enjoyed episode one. I thought it was a bit like The Simpsons, but on a USS spaceship.
It was ridiculously silly, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, but I enjoyed that. I thought it was a lovely
It's not on Prime here, it's on CBS, I believe.
It was almost like they've tried to mix up the Orville with Star Trek and turned it into a cartoon.
Yeah, absolutely right, yeah.
That's a good description.
I did enjoy it, though. It's certainly worth half an hour of anyone, or 24 minutes of anyone's time.
Yes. Yeah, so I enjoyed episode one. It's quite a good laugh. It's quite Star Trek-y. And, worth watching if for a start. And also, it's a bit of a departure from things like Discovery and Picard, which are quite hard-hitting sci-fi, in regards to it's sometimes quite violent and there's a bit of swearing in there. And talking about Star Trek Discovery, I don't know if you've been watching it, Kirby, Series 3.
No.
Pardon?
Okay, Kirsty says I'm here.
Yes, I am.
Hey!
All right.
Well, just before you, have you got a quote, by the way, for the episode, Kirsty, before you?
This is the day the sun expands. Welcome to the end of the world.
Well, no, that'll do. Anyway, before you...
First thing I saw on the damn screen.
I'm just discussing Star Trek Discovery, because I wanted to do a spoiler for Kirby in case he hasn't already watched it. Have you watched it, Kirby?
I like spoilers.
So it won't spoil too much. It's not a massive spoiler, so I won't really... Although, I know people listen to the show. Right, I'm just going to spoil Kirby, right, listeners? So if you want to turn it down for the next 10 seconds from the bell... then you can come back after. They say 15, because it's 15 seconds on iPods, isn't that what they call those things that you listen on podcasts for? So on the bell, volume off or skip forward. Right. Do you know that City on the Edge of Forever episode from the classic series, Kirsty?
Yes.
Kirby, not Kirsty, sorry.
I am the guardian of forever.
Yes, that is in Series 3 of Discovery.
I had heard a rumor.
It's not a rumour, it's a fact. Right, so welcome back, listeners. Right, Kirsty, what did you think of The End of the World?
Kirsty.
I hadn't got that button. I hadn't got to the button to turn the volume down.
I give you fair warning. Kirsty.
Yes.
What did you think of The End of the World? And I don't mean the current situation we're in now, the Doctor Who story.
I did not rewatch this one, so I'm going off memory.
How dare you?
But I did get the Blu-ray for the David Tennant collection, so I just wanted to say that before.
I've had it for a year.
Hey, yeah, but he's talking about a Blu-ray collection, not what you're talking about, Kirby.
Anyway, I really kind of like this one. It was that we've done. You know, Wales, you know, can we see, we've done London. Can we see a bit of outer space? Can we see a bit of aliens and that? And it really does prove that they're capable of doing some pretty damn good work. I mean, yeah, it was expensive as hell to get the show off the ground, but, you know, it was worth it. And this really shows that even though it looks a little naff on my, you know, on my 1080p TV now, But no, it was really great and some great effects work. And yeah, still don't like Christopher Eccleston. But, you know, he's one of my least favorite doctors.
Yeah, this is what I was going to do. I was going to do a poll when I get around to it.
I mean, I do appreciate him being in the role, et cetera, and doing it. It's just he's not the doctor for me.
Backtracking.
No, it's like Pertwee. I don't really like Pertwee all that much either.
You know, I misheard you there, Kirsty, when you said you don't like Pertwee. I thought you said you don't like Kirby. I thought, for a minute there, but...
No comment? Depends on the Sunday, really.
Ah.
But no, I mean, yeah, Face of Bo gets introduced for the first time, and we, you know... And it's a good little adventure, and there's some... And then, of course, we... see them reuse the same kind of structure over and over again, so to make the show a bit cheaper. And
same
yeah.
building. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about the structure.
The satellite. It's a structure, Kirby.
Well, yeah. I was referring to the fact they keep using the Temple of Peace as a physical set.
Well, I was the one talking, so it was my reference, not yours. Right?
Boy, boy, boy.
Excuse me. Girls, boys.
Was that 6 seconds?
I already beat it by now and had a cup of coffee.
Girls,
well, actually, it's
girls,
wine, but I'm... that's a little more apt. Right, Kirk?
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, it's... I forgot because I got interrupted by somebody with a pedantic point. but no, you know, it's one of those things where you look back and you and now I know more about what they did, you know, behind the scenes of the show and reusing, you know, the satellite, etc. It's like, oh, it all makes sense now. And it's really kind of clever. The show's off to a good start. Little story, since I'm here and not recording this, I wouldn't have got my back into my house after Hurricane Charlie hit our house in Florida back when the series came out without Doctor Who, because I found a way to obtain the episodes as they were coming out. And our place had a roof ripped off, essentially, and so we finally got that back in, but we had to repaint and redo the ceiling and everything, and so I had to go around and paint the ceiling after work every night. So I would get in there and I would start the process of finding the episode and retrieving it and start painting, and then take a little break halfway through and watch Doctor Who. And it was magic. It was great, because it was just me. My wife wasn't really into the show at that point, because, you know, it wasn't that big. It was just my little DVD collection of old episodes. But no, it kind of kept me going after that disaster. You know, we were kind of rebuilding everything, and here I had this to look forward to when I had to go around on my own and paint a ceiling with a roller. Hard work. Mm. Doesn't sound that hard, but it is. But anyway, so yeah.
To paint a ceiling with a roller.
Yeah,
I wish I didn't have to do that every bloody day.
Once you're done, I'm ready to be pedantic again.
Oh God, here we go.
Well, anyway, I'm gonna go now. It's been good to be here, and I'll see you later.
Hey,
go ahead.
Platform 1 is not the same space station as Satellite 5.
They're different names.
Yeah.
No, they're different. Satellite 5 is much larger than Platform 1.
Anyway, thank you for
also,
that.
Also, Platform 1 is 5 billion years in the future, and Satellite 5 is only in the year 200,000.
Right, okay. Was worth waiting for, wasn't it? All right, next time we're going to be reviewing The Unquiet Dead. Cheerful title. It's
introducing
almost like
one of my favorite actors, Eve Miles.
Yes.
And
it's almost like a Christmas special that wasn't at Christmas. Because it's the only Christmas
9th of April
themed episode that Eccleston appeared in. So there you go. Unless anybody else has got anything else to add, I will sign off. Anybody else got anything else want to say? Everybody's gone quiet.
Princess Diana was murdered.
Princess Diana was murdered, apparently. I'm sure that's a subject for potentially a Doctor Who story, but you never know.
I'm a little behind the times, but if you haven't watched it already and you have Disney Plus, watch DuckTales. It is
DuckTales.
Awesome.
Isn't David Tennant, doesn't he do the voice for
yeah, he does.
Wow. Scrooge McDuck.
Brilliant. It's a fantastic show, and I love it.
I only found that out from watching Staged. But yeah, so thanks for watching, taking part, listening, and whatever else to the show. See you again next time. Peace out.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Bye.
Love you.
I put on makeup for this.
I put on my clothes for this.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazzi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.